My subject this morning is For All the Days That End in Y. We as human beings, from the day we're born to today, sometime today, we'll ask why. So I'm going to start out with something that has nothing to do with my talk, so you can ask why in your own mind as I do this. So school has started. So we're going to take a test. So I'm going to give everybody a test. Just to let you know, I took this test myself. I'm 0-4. So let's see. There's going to be four questions. I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to give you the answer. And I'd like to rate you to raise your hand if you got it right. So this is a real simple test. Kids can do it in their own mind, too. And if you're 4 years or older, you should be able to do the test. So us as adults don't do very good. Kids do better. Okay, so this consists of four questions. First question, how do you put a giraffe into a refrigerator? Okay, think about it. I want you to have an answer in your mind. The correct answer is, everybody ready? You got an answer. You got to see whether you get this right. Open the refrigerator, put in the giraffe, and close the door is the correct answer. Raise your hand if you got that right. Yep, kids do good. Okay, figured that was the case. I missed it. Second question, how do you put an elephant into a refrigerator? Okay, think about it. Get it in your mind. I was going to call on people, but then I thought, no, that'd be embarrassing because I got them all wrong. So, did you say open the refrigerator, put in the elephant, and close the refrigerator? How many said that? Raise your hand. Okay, you're wrong. Open the refrigerator, take out the giraffe, put in the elephant, and close the door. That's the right answer. Got that one wrong, too. Okay, the third question. The Lion King is hosting an animal conference. All the animals attend except one. Which animal does not attend? So think about it. You got an answer. There's one animal that does not attend. The correct answer is the elephant, because he's in the refrigerator. So raise your hand. Everybody got that right. Some of you did better on that. Okay, there's a river you must cross, but is used by crocodiles. And you do not have a boat. How do you manage it? So think about the answer. Correct answer is you jump into the river and swim across. Have you not been listening? All the animals, all of them, are attending this meeting except the elephant, and he's in the fridge. So the correct answer is you jump in and swim across. This is a kind of a cute test I came across. According to Anderson Consulting Worldwide, around 90% of the professionals they tested get all the questions wrong. But preschoolers got 3 out of 4 questions correct. Anderson Consulting says the conclusion disproves that most of us have the mind of 4-year-olds. Today I'm going to talk about why. And why fills our days and our minds. In the New Testament, there's 98 verses that have the word why in it. There's 60 to 70 verses in the Old Testament that have the word why in it. Some verses have it several times. We enter this life questioning why. Why did I have to leave the comfortable place I was living? Why are they shining bright lights in my eyes? Why am I being poked and prodded, rubbed and wrapped up? Why do people talk to me with unintelligible language? Why is it that every time I get this diaper warm, they replace it? We are born with a burning desire to know the whys of life. Why do birds and butterflies fly when I cannot? The why question continues through our school years. Did you ever wonder why you had to learn math? Especially, why did you have to learn calculus? Why did you have to learn trigonometry? There are just so many whys out there. Does anyone have a compelling reason to the penetrating question, why do we observe daylight savings time? Most countries don't. Why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Why do I have to endure more of it than others? We surround our lives with why. In case you haven't noticed, every day ends in why. I've even known many days that ended in the word why. When you go to bed, you think about what happened during the day, and you think about the whys. Most of us do that when we go to bed. Is God required to answer our why question? A man went to a barbershop to have his hair cut and his beard trimmed. As the barber began to work, they began to have a good conversation. They talked about so many things and various subjects. And this all happens to us at the barbershop. Barbers are very good at conversation. When they eventually touched on the subject of God, the barber said, "I don't believe that God exists." "Why do you say that?" asked the customer. "Well, you just have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. Tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God existed, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all of these things." The customer thought for a moment, but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. And you know, with the barber cutting your hair and scissors and everything, I wouldn't start an argument either. The barber finished his job and the customer left the shop. Just after he left the barber shop, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, dirty hair and an untrimmed beard. He looked dirty and unkempt. The customer turned back and entered the barber shop again, and he said to the barber, "You know what? Barbers do not exist." The barber gets upset and he says, "How can you say that? I am here, I am a barber, and I just worked on you." "No," the customer exclaimed, "barbers don't exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty long hair and untrimmed beards like the man outside." "Ah," the barber says, "they do exist. What happens is people do not come to me." "Exactly," affirmed the customer. "That's the point. God too does exist. What happens is people don't go to him and do not look for him." Hebrews 11:6 says that exact same thing. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Our reward is sure, but not necessarily the answers that we question every day. Why would you think that God should tell you why? When Frank McGuire was senior vice president of Federal Express, he had a pet project that he was hoping to adopt as part of his yearly budget. He had talked to the company's chairman, Fred Smith, several times unsuccessfully. One afternoon, McGuire stuck his head in Smith's office and said, "Do you have a minute? I need to talk to you." Fred Smith said, "Is it about the same thing?" Before McGuire could answer him, Smith said, "Come over here." Smith got up from his chair and said to McGuire, "Sit in my chair." Smith moved around the front of the desk and had a seat in the guest chair. Then he said, "Tell me one more time why we should do this project." McGuire couldn't speak. His boss said, It looked a lot different from the side of the desk, doesn't it?" Later, McGuire said, "It was the most profound lesson in management I've ever received, because what looks so clear to one employee doesn't always look that way to the chairman of the board. When I sat in the chair, I saw the financial community, the customers, the budget department, and I realized how overwhelming it was." So if we think about the whys we have, God sees everything. He's sitting in the chairman's chair. He makes decisions that affect everything. He knows the big picture. He already knows tomorrow. He already knows the judgment day. He knows exactly when he's going to come. He knows exactly what I'm going to do the rest of my life. He knows everything, and he can be trusted. God always works within the three W's. And three W's, there's a lot of things you can put with three W's, World Wide Web. But God has the three W's also. He has his word, his will, and his way. God has given us His precious Word. God has a predetermined will. God works in a predictable way. The three W's always agree with each other. God's Word reveals His will and His way of acting and reacting with mankind. God's will never go against His Word or His way. God's way, how He does things, remains the same. This is found in Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Also in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. One could say that God is pretty set in His ways. That is a great thing, because in one place He says this in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. If God changed with the whim of man, it would spell doom for us all, because we make mistakes every day. We all sin every day. We displease God in some way every day. We're lucky that He has the will and the way that He has. If God decided to change His mind every time we whined, how do we know what the next day would bring? The foundation of trust is dependability. When everything else is changing, God is still constant. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So why do we ask why? Asking why is normal. Even Jesus asked why. Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we heard that today in class and also up here. God did not even answer His only Son when Jesus asked a question of why. And all the times that the question's why is asked in the Scriptures, God never answers the question. There's nothing wrong with asking why, but don't ever expect God to answer that question. Psalms 22:2, every day I call to You, my God, but You do not answer. Every night You hear my voice, but I find no relief. Maybe we could not handle the answer or a whining whys. Maybe the answer would only give us two more questions. Maybe Father really knows best. Maybe instead of why, we should just say yes. The morning before Super Bowl 40, hundreds gathered in fourth floor ballroom at the Marriott Renaissance in Detroit, Michigan, to cheer New York Jets running back Curtis Martin, who received the Athletes in Action Bart Starr Award. They thought they were there to cheer and to eat a great breakfast, but God surprised them all as the featured speaker that day spoke. The speaker was Indianapolis Colts head coach Tony Dungy. I figured since it's football season and everybody's had a couple Sundays of football, it was just fitting that I gave them a football story. Tony Dungy has had a lot of things happen in his life, and he's been able to turn those things around and to help a lot of people, and he speaks in a lot of places. So I'm going to tell his story that he gave this 15-minute speech. He told them he was going to talk about the lessons he had learned from his three sons, and the crowd fell silent because they knew some of the stories that he was going to tell. Then Dungy spoke, and although this was a breakfast, and although as many such events, speakers speak over the clinking of glasses and the murmurs from semi-interested listeners, for most of the 15 minutes the room was silent except for Dungy's voice. He spoke of his middle son, Eric, who he said shares his competitiveness and who is focused on sports to where it's almost a problem. He spoke of his youngest son, Jordan, who has a rare congenital condition which causes him not to feel pain. He feels things, but he doesn't get the sensation of pain, Dungy said. The lessons learned from Jordan, Tony Dungy said, are many. It sounds like it's good at the beginning, but I promise you it's not. Dungy said, we've learned a lot about pain in the last 5 years we've had Jordan. We've learned some hurts are really necessary for kids. Pain is necessary for kids to find out the difference between what's good and what's harmful. Jordan Dungy said, loves cookies. And all kids do. All kids love cookies. Cookies are good, Dungy said. But in Jordan's mind, if they're good out on the plate, they're even better in the oven. He will go right in the oven with his, when my wife's not looking, reach in, take the rack out, take the pan out, burn his hands and eat the cookies, burn his tongue, burn his mouth, and never feel it. He doesn't know that's bad for him. Jordan, Dungy said, has no fear of anything, so we constantly have to watch him. The lesson learned, Dungy said, is simple. You get the question all the time, why does the Lord allow pain in your life? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is a God of love, why does he allow those hurtful things to happen? Dungy said. We've learned that a lot of times because of that pain, that little temporary pain, you learned what's harmful. You learn to fear the right things. Pain sometimes lets us know we have a condition that needs to be healed. Pain inside sometimes lets us know that spiritually we're not quite right and we need to be healed, and that God will send that healing agent right to the spot. Sometimes pain is the only way that will turn us as kids back to the Father. Finally, he spoke of James. James Dungy, Tony Dungy's oldest son, died 3 days before Christmas. As he did while delivering James' eulogy in December, Dungy on Saturday spoke of him eloquently and steadily, speaking of lessons learned and of the positive taken from experience. It was tough and it was very, very painful, but as painful as it was, there were some good things that came out of it, Dungy said. Dungy spoke at the funeral of regretting not hugging James the last time he saw him on Thanksgiving of last year. I met a guy the next day after the funeral, Dungy said. He said, I was there. I heard you talking. I took off work today and I called my son. I told him I was taking him to the movies. We're going to spend some time and go to dinner. That was a real blessing to me. Dungy said he has gotten many letters since James' death relaying similar messages. People heard what I said and said, hey, you brought me a little closer to my son. And you brought me a little closer to my daughter. Dungy said, that is a tremendous blessing. Dungy also said, some of James' organs were donated through donors' programs. We got a letter back 2 weeks ago that two people had received his corneas, and now they can see. That's been a tremendous blessing. Dungy also said he received a letter from a girl from a family church in Tampa. She had known James for many years, Dungy said. She went to the funeral because she knew James. When I saw what happened at the funeral and your family and the celebration and how it was handled, that was the first time I realized that there was a God. That was an awesome blessing to hear from her that she became part of a church in Tampa and realized that God's love was all about. Dungy also said he was asked often how he was able to return to the cold so quickly after James' death. James died on December 22nd and Dungy returned to the team 1 week later. Dungy said the answer was simple. People ask me, how do you recover so quickly? Dungy said, I'm not totally recovered. I don't know that I ever will be. It's still very, very painful, but I was able to come back because of something one of my good Christian friends said to me after the funeral. He said, you know James accepted Christ, so you know he's in heaven, right? I said, right, I know that. So with all you know about heaven, if you had the power to bring him back now, would you? When I thought about it, I said, no, I wouldn't. I would not want him back with what I know about heaven. That's what helped me through the grieving process because of Christ's Spirit in me, and I had that confidence that James is there. At peace with the Lord, and I have the peace of mind in the midst of something that's very, very painful. That's my prayer today, that everyone in this room would know the same thing. Life is not to be understood any more than God can fully understand. But for all the days that end in Y, God is good no matter what the Y is. With that, I would like to offer the invitation to anyone out there that wants to be part of Christ's body, that wants to be part of this church, and to be a member of Christ and to have that fulfillment that you have hope of a heavenly home in heaven. You have hope after this life. We know we're all going to die. We know this life's going to end. And we want to have that hope of a better life after this. So if you have something you want to make known to the church, come forward as we stand and sing.